Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to Idiot, my podcast. I'm here with my mother.
Mother Idiot. Yes.
Which it's so funny because we only have one mic, y'all, and so we're just going to be sitting like this awkwardly because that's what we're doing. Spotify listeners, I'm talking to my YouTube listeners, which by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and like the video. It helps keep me going. So even if you hate this video in the end, you're just going to like it right now, right away. That's going to help. So I'm here with my mom, and it's funny you said mother idiot because I obviously both my books are idiot.
Right.
And it's a self-deprecating thing, but I think I did get that from you because since I was growing up, you would always be like, I'm such an idiot, even though you're the smartest woman I know.
Oh, thank you, darling.
A little more into the mic.
I said,
this is going to be so awkward.
Thank you, darling.
We're just going to be talking like okay, this the whole time.
Okay, let's talk like this the whole time. Okay.
Oh, you just put a breath mint in?
Oh, yes.
That's nice.
I have gum.
I feel like I need a breath mint.
You want half of my gum?
No, I don't want half of your... We're close, but we're not that close.
Not that close. Okay.
We're not that close.
All right.
Even closer, Mom.
Okay.
Okay.
Even. Is that... Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wait. okay, wait. So, but what you call yourself an idiot.
Yes, I'm such an idiot. I have always done that.
Why do you think you do that?
I've just always done it. I don't believe I'm an idiot. I think I do idiotic things periodically. Mm. And I think that's more what I mean. But it's much easier to just say, oh, I'm such an idiot, rather than, oh my goodness, I've just done a totally idiotic thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an idiot, even though you're so smart. And you know you're smart.
Yes.
It's just, it's just kind of self-deprecating humor.
Right. But no, I think it's like everybody does things that they regret doing.
Yeah.
You know, where you see, oh my goodness.
A little closer.
Oh my goodness, if I had just, this close?
That's good.
Oh my goodness, if I had just done this a little bit differently, or oh, this would have been much smarter.
Yeah.
That's usually when I go, I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I think of that before?
Your other, I got really close.
You did. You did.
I just made out with the mic.
She did. True.
Now, your other famous phrase is, life sucks and then you die.
Yeah, it's a family saying.
I'd go up to Mom when I was only 8 years old. Mom, I'm really upset. Samantha Penley stole my lunch again. Well, life sucks and then you die.
But you also have to picture Samantha Penley, who Laura is a wee bit tall. She's always been tall. And Samantha Penley came up to about, I don't know, someplace between her elbow and her shoulder. And this was the girl that was bullying her. This teeny tiny little thing would take her stuff all the time. And she'd come up, Mom, Samantha Penley's. And I would say, you know, sweetie. And it was a toughen up thing. Life sucks and then you die.
Very encouraging advice from my mother.
Very sweet. I'm a very nurturing person.
And then her other, shout out to Samantha Penley if you're watching this. Fuck you. Give me my lunch back. Just kidding. I'm sure she's matured and is very nice now.
Yes, absolutely. I'm positive of it.
I feel like people are going to be Googling her. Don't bully Samantha Penley.
No,
in
never.
Fact, I bet she got married. Her name's not even that anymore.
One would hope.
But she was tiny, tiny. And
she was.
She bullied me every day, man. She wanted my turkey sandwiches.
She did. But then Laura's,
she got them.
Yes, she did. Laura's good friend, who was also a little tiny person, was the one who finally stood up to Samantha Penley and Samantha, or Sarah.
Sarah
Winkowski.
Shout out to Sarah Winkowski, sweetest girl in the world. We love you.
We do.
We love you, Sarah.
And I'm still really sorry Laura cut your hair under my dining room table.
I thought it looked fabulous.
It didn't. It really didn't.
Okay, so your other advice that you'd give is never antagonize the crazy person. That was a great piece of advice.
That was a steadfast rule in our house.
Yeah.
Be careful with people's hearts.
Yes. Very good one.
Yes. And never trust
a woman with big hair.
Right.
But who with big hair burned you, Mom?
Okay. So it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it really short. My husband was a greaser.
So you guys, they were like the real life Grease. You've seen the movie Grease. This was my mom and dad's love story.
Yeah. my husband was a greaser, and he had a greaser girlfriend, and I was more of a preppy type person. In Oak Park, we called them dupers, dear old Oak Parkers. And we met at a party on spring break because his girlfriend was away and the boy that I was seeing was away. And we met on spring break, and he pursued me hot and heavy. I wouldn't go out with him, even though he tried to tell me that he had to go out with her one night a weekend, but the other night of the weekend, he could go out with anybody he wanted, male or female.
Can I just say, she was 15, he was 16, just to give more.
Yeah, scary, isn't it? And April Fool's Day. One would think that would have been like, red flag, but not so much. Mm-hmm. So the girl's back in town, and we're back at the high school, and I've still not gone out with him, but she hears about the party, and she cornered me in the bathroom at the high school, and she tried to rip my earring out, and she was this greaser chick with big hair. So
ever since then,
never trust a woman with big hair.
Yep.
It's absolutely, you know, don't do it.
And then Dad broke up with Ruth, who I imagine Ruth was like Rizzo from Grease. And then my mom was Sandy. She was literally a cheerleader, straight A student, goody two shoes.
Dancer,
sorry. Dancer. And my dad was like this bad boy, literally looks like John Travolta. I'm not kidding.
It's true.
And then they would just randomly break out into song, you know, throughout the day, just fully choreographed dance and song. Summer loving happens so fast.
Summer loving. I don't know the words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Met a girl, cutest
can be. Met a boy, cutest can be. Yeah, that was really good.
Not
really
good. Sorry.
Really, really good. We're actually better singers than this.
Yeah.
So my mom is here.
I am.
She's been here for a week. She leaves tomorrow. Boo. But she said she's going to come all the time now. And it's definitely been, how's the experience been for you coming to the house with just me and the kids? How is that for you?
It's
into the mic.
Yeah. It's different from what it was. But in other ways, I think it's perfect. You're doing what's right for you. And I think that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to safeguard your children and safeguard yourself and be careful with your own heart. Mm. So I think it's fine. I'm comfortable, but I worry about how much you have to do on your own now. I mean, there have to be a lot of single parents out there who know how difficult it is and how stressful it is not to have somebody to fall back on. Not that Stephen isn't around. He is around. But just not here all the time. And I think that's hard. So I'm going to make a nuisance of myself. You'll be seeing me all the time.
Yes. My mom says she's not going to be able to get rid of her now.
No. Yeah. No. Plus, I want to know my grandchildren more.
Yeah. I feel like Alfie and you have been bonding so much this trip. Same with Poppy. But Alfie just right away, mango, please, Grandma.
Yeah.
And just knew you right away, and big smiles and games. And Poppy took a couple days.
Yes, she did.
To get, but she was also very sassy and moody and wasn't feeling good. So she was pissed at everyone.
Yes, a little bit. But usually Poppy is Little Miss Sunshine. She's so happy and so chatty. And so it was, taken back a little. But I do think she's in much better health now, and she's been so cuddly and so cute. And my goal is for her to lounge on me like she lounges on her mother.
Yes.
The child literally lounges like Laura is a recliner.
Yeah, she's a big lounger. So what do you think is the most important piece of life advice that you would give my listeners from your 70 years on this earth? 70?
Oh, yes, 70. Yes, I'm 70. 70. I am 70. You know what? Try to look at the positive side of everything. And if you can, find the humor in it. It will see you through.
And this is the life sucks and then you die, lady.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I mean,
but that was humor. That's humor.
It was humor. And probably a little above an 8-year-old's head. Looking back, I could have been a little brighter. about that, but I do. I think you have to find the humor in everything or you'll go mad.
I feel like you've been really, really good at that. So just to reiterate, because I sort of interrupted you.
That's okay. You can interrupt
me. So look at the positive, and if you can't do that, find
the humor.
But isn't finding humor looking at the positive, or no?
No, absolutely not.
Well, yeah. Okay. So here's a good example of a time I was in a really abusive relationship. You remember him.
We'll
call him Damon, but.
Demon?
Sure. Demon. And, I was like 18 and I was talking to Colleen on the phone and telling her what an asshole he was. And he was passed out drunk on the couch and just completely passed out. So I thought for sure he wasn't going to hear this conversation that I was having in the same room. Well, sure enough, he did. And he opened up his eyes and he looked crazy and he like shot up in slow motion and then threw something at me and started like got up and started chasing me to like try and attack me. And this is all while I'm on the phone with my sister, Colleen. And I'm like, oh God. And Colleen's like, what? And I'm like, Damon, he's chasing me. And I ran out of the apartment and I'm running around. It's like one of those huge apartment complexes. And I'm running to get to the elevator, the stairs, down out on the street. And I'm like, he's chasing me. And she's like, oh my God, is he running or doing the slow serial killer walk? And I was, and I turned around. I'm like, slow serial killer walk, slow serial killer walk. And she starts giggling. And I remember vividly, like I'm literally being chased by this psycho abusive boyfriend. And my sister and I are like finding humor in that situation. And it wasn't funny, but it was like how we dealt with it. And it was fine in the end. I can't remember what happened, but I'm alive. Anyway.
And we're all happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I got a crazy call one time from you too, where somebody had climbed up your balcony and was trying to break in. I think when you lived in Topanga, right?
That was so Encino.
Encino, okay.
So I'm on the phone with my mom, right? This is like, it has to be like 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, whatever. Irrelevant.
More than that.
Okay. But whatever. Irrelevant to the story. So I'm, well, pre-kids, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm on the phone with my mom and where I'm going to be like a hunchback this whole.
I've got a hoodie on.
Very awkward.
To the hunch.
Very awkward.
You do too.
By the way, I've got my mother hoodie on. It's 50% off at shopboibs.com. We don't have any Mama Llamas.
I love Mama Llama.
But we've got mother hoodies and they're 50% off and there's only a few left. So go get them. But anyway, so I'm on the phone with mom during the day and I remember I like was at the store and I parked the car and then I grabbed my phone and I'm walking and talking to my mom up to the front door. And there were a couple steps to the front door of this house that we had, which actually was at one time owned by Sonny and Cher in the 60s. It was like this mid-century glass house, like all the walls were glass, but it wasn't modern. It was very 60s, like shag carpets were probably still the same ones. Anyway, it was a really cool house in Encino, but I digress. So I get up to the front door and I'm still talking to my mom. And I remember I unlock the door, I walk in and all of a sudden there's this man, this big man. He's got to be like 6'4" and he looks like he's got blood on him and he looks like he's possibly on drugs and he's in my backyard and he's trying to get in. There's a sliding glass door and one that I often left unlocked because it was to the backyard and I thought, oh, it's safe. No one's going to go back there. And I would often leave it unlocked. And actually Stephen was always like, you have to lock that back, the sliding glass door. And I remember specifically before I had left that day, I was like, oh, I guess I'll lock that door even though no one's coming in this way because you got to climb over a fence and it's in the backyard and it's super private. Like there's no way. But I did. I locked the door. And as I walked in the front door, remember all the walls are glass. So I see him and he's like literally got some blood on him. He looks like all cracked out a bit. And and he starts and he's trying to get in. And I stand there and he locks eyes with me and I lock eyes with him. And I just start kind of shaking and going into that adrenaline mode.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, and then I think I say, what do I say to you?
Call 911.
Yes. I was like, Mom, call 911. Someone's trying to break in. And then was that it? Did I get off the phone?
Then I think, I don't know if I said it or you said it. It was either I've got to get out of here or I said, get out of there.
Yeah, something to that effect. I was like, call 911. Someone's trying to break in. And then I got to get out of there. Something like that. So I hang up. Poor mom's, well, I'll let you tell your side. But so I'm standing off with this guy and he's yelling from the other side of the sliding glass door. And I can't really hear what he's saying fully. Huh? What?
Yeah.
He's like, blah, 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 blah. Wait, what? Say a little louder. It's like the beginning of my sketch I just posted. But so he's like screaming something. And then I hear like, let me in, let me in. It's like, oh, okay, sure, sir. Of course you can. You want some tea, coffee? What can I get for you? Like, what did he think was going to happen? You know, like he had to have climbed over the fence to fucking break into my house. And he's like, let me in. Oh, sure. Do you want some toast or cheese and crackers? What can I do for you? So I'm like shaking and so scared. And in that moment, it's like, what do I do? Do I stay in the house because the patio's locked so he can't get in that way? Is he going to break the glass or get in through a window? Like, he's pissed. He's amped up. So yeah. I make the decision to just run back out the front door and call the police because I didn't feel safe in that fucking glass house. Like, it was, he could see me. He was pissed. He was massive. Like, he could have broken in
easily.
He could have broken in and I would have just been there. So my instinct said, run, get out of the house and run and call the police. So I make the decision. I book it back out the front door. I call 911 and I am sprinting down the street. I call 911 and say, there's a guy trying to break in. Please come, give him the address. And they were like, we'll be there right now, or we're sending officers right now. And then I'm like, well, now what do I do? You know, I can't go back to the house.
Yeah, right.
And then get this, I'm about five houses down up the hill because we lived in this hilly part of town. I'm like five houses up. Right as I get off with the cops, I turn around and he's there. The dude is there.
Yeah, terrifying.
And he looks at me and he looks at me with these big eyes and he goes, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, and just sprints off. So, you know, your end. What happened on your end?
Well, so I don't want to hang up with her because it's terrifying to hang up with her, and yet I know I have to call the police, so we hang up. I call 911 and I say, there's somebody trying to break into my daughter's house. You have to get there right away. And they said, okay, what's the address? And I said, well, it's in California. And then they said, well, you have to call the 911 of that area code, not this area code. And I'm like, what? There's no, what?
Yeah.
How is that possible? So as I'm trying to figure out how to call the 911 and that area code, Laura calls me back and said, I called the cops. Yeah. They're on the way. It's like, oh, thank God.
I called the cops. They're on the way. I confronted the guy and he said, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm gone. Now the story doesn't end here.
No.
Do you remember the rest?
I do. You live next to crazy people.
Okay. So the cops come, they look through the house. They look outside the house. They don't see anything. They're like, we're going to go and knock on all the neighbors' doors and see if any of them have seen him or what's going on. So the cops leave, they take the report, and then they leave. Then about 2 hours later, the cops come back and they're like, okay, so the neighbor about six houses down opened the door to this guy, and the guy asked the neighbor if she could call him a Lyft or an Uber back down to Ventura and to the main street in that area. And she did. She called this guy an Uber and got him. So I was like, so the woman just got him a car out of there, and they're like, yeah.
And right, whoever thought that was a medium of escape?
I know. Right? So he begged this woman, and now here's the thing: it made me feel guilty because I was like, was that guy with a little bit of blood on him asking me for help? But why was he in my backyard? Why wouldn't he knock on my front door to say, help, I need help? Why would he be in my backyard trying to get in? So, because this part of me was like, oh, maybe this man just got into some trouble and needed help. But why the hell is he in my backyard trying to get in?
Right. And if I remember the story right, he was up a level. He had to climb up to your balcony, kind of a thing. It wasn't ground level. So that was a little odd as well.
Yeah. So, well, it turns out that, so the guy escaped by an Uber because a neighbor called him an Uber and he was gone. The story, the plot thickens. So this all happens. The police let us know, like, he's gone. You're fine. Then cut to about 2 hours later, 2 hours after, I'm sitting down having dinner with Steven. Knock, knock, knock on the door. I open the door. Who's at the door? Literally that producer, his name's Molly Mall. You know Molly Mall? He produced like Snoop Dogg, Justin Bieber, so many rappers. Well, he lived next door to us. And he has since been arrested for human trafficking. He had a bobcat and all sorts of illegal animals in his house. His house looked like the White House meets Scarface. It was like this really gaudy mansion. And our house was pretty normal. I mean, it was glass. It wasn't normal, but it wasn't like huge or anything like that. But anyway, this guy was renting this gaudy mansion and he literally was in up to all kinds of bad shit. So he fucking knocks on our door. And behind him is like what looks like his bodyguard, but it's funny because like he was all scrawny and skinny, but he had his arms crossed and he was wearing these Gucci sandals and he had this really stern look on his face and he didn't say anything. He was just standing behind Molly Mall like he was his like, what do you call?
Bodyguard.
Security? Or like sidekick. Oh. I mean, that kid couldn't have hurt anyone, but he was just like standing there with his arms crossed looking really stern. Anyway, Molly Mall goes, looks at me and he goes, hey, did anyone, or, oh no, sorry. He goes, hey, the cops came and they said they were looking for a guy that tried to break into your house. I'm so sorry about that. And I was like, no, it's fine. I mean, he left and we're okay. And he goes, do you know which way he went? And I was like, oh, well, he initially went that way and then got a car back to Ventura. And he was like, okay, thank you. And walks off. And it was so weird.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it clicked. It clicked that dude was bloody. And because Molly Mall and all those guys that live there, because he had a bunch of people living there, they live right next door. So that dude was all bloody and he hopped the fence over from Molly Mall's house. That's why he was in the backyard. So it's all making sense. He was running away from them, from those guys.
Right, trying to escape.
Because they were beating him up because something went wrong and I don't know what and I don't know why. And so he was running and that's why he was in my backyard and that's why he was saying, let me in, because he thought he was going to get murdered.
Terrifying. But yeah. Who would open the door to somebody beating on their door yelling, let me in?
Right.
Not me.
Right. Uh-uh. But the guy looked so scared. And when I ran off and he confronted me down the street, he was like, I'm gone. And I remember the look in his eyes. All of a sudden, I'm like, damn, this guy's more scared than I am.
Yeah. Not good. Not
and the,
good.
And the way that Molly Mall was like, do you know which way he went? Like, yeah. Looking like, where is this guy? Because we're going to kill him.
Yeah, that was definitely scary. And which way did he go is never a good comment. That's like, which way did he go?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Bad.
But since that he's been arrested for human trafficking, I believe.
Right. Yeah. And didn't he run brothels in Vegas or something? Yes. There was a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't good. So you've scared the heck out of Colleen. You definitely scared the heck out of me. Tracy's wondering when it's her turn.
So Tracy's my oldest. I have two older sisters, Colleen and Tracy. And Tracy's my oldest, and I'm due to scare her.
Yes, absolutely. You can't leave her out. It just wouldn't be right.
We could just prank her right now and make something up.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. That would be bad.
Okay, but it would kind of be funny? Depending on the context.
Right, and what context were you thinking of, dear? It has to involve 911 and somebody trying to kill you because
we got the theme.
Right. We got the full treatment. There's no reason that you should deny Tracy that adrenaline rush of, oh my God, my sister's going to be killed and there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah.
Let me just check. 26.
I don't know what that means.
26. We've been going 26 minutes and and my podcast is normally 20 to 30 minutes, actually.
Oh, wow.
So let's just end on, give me...
Tell us a scary story. We want to hear a scary incident that happened to you.
Oh, yeah. Have you had any crazy stuff, crazy, scary, thought you were maybe going to die moments? Write them in the comments on my YouTube video. I want to hear them. I want to hear details. You know what we should do in the future, Mom? We should have people call in and tell them the stories.
Oh, that would be fun.
Don't you think?
Yes, I would do that. What are we doing tomorrow?
Like, rather than celebrity guests, we should just have awesome real people with awesome real stories.
I think that's where you get the best stories.
100%.
Yeah, because the other, you don't know how much they're dramatizing.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally not dramatizing any of this. Laura gave me heart attacks virtually all my life.
You think so?
I do. Yeah.
Even when I was little?
No. Well, the hair cutting thing was bad.
Oh.
Yeah. She cut her own hair like 3 times. We hid all the scissors in the house. And finally she found cuticle scissors or nail scissors. And she came downstairs and she had scallopy bangs that were cut really short.
Okay, but what's like the craziest shit, the biggest scare you've ever had? Not since I've been out here, but back when I was a kid or teen.
Okay.
Is there something that comes to mind?
Well, it wasn't terribly scary because the police already had you in custody. You and your best friend Maggie you were like 12 years old, and Maggie was spending the night at my house, which meant I was responsible for her. And all of a sudden the doorbell rings at like 2:30. The police have Maggie and Laura in their PJs. They were walking down 63rd Street to meet 2 other girls who were spending the night at somebody else's house.
We wanted to take a night walk.
Yeah. Just always that kind of stuff.
Yeah, now that I'm a parent, like, that would be so scary. Oh my God, my 12-year-olds are walking down a main street at 4 a.m. Like, that is, we could have gotten snatched up.
Easily. And the doorbell's ringing, and I don't see you or Maggie in the living room, which is where you always slept to watch infomercials.
Yeah. Wow, so that was it. That's really not that bad. I thought there would be much worse. I mean, that is scary, but...
Definitely.
Well, I think the biggest look of terror that I ever saw on your face was when Maggie and I went to the Heritage Fest when we were 10 or 11 or something. Yep. And we went with her older sister, and she let us like run around by ourselves, and our parents were so mad at her. But anyway, we came back and we were like, oh my gosh, we got all these free teddy bears because this... Is carny like a derogatory term? I think it probably is.
Well, it works for a carnival.
Works for a carnival. Yeah. But we used to say carny, but I feel like that's probably offensive. Like, I feel like you can't say carny.
How about if we call them a carnival engineer?
Okay. So one of the carnival engineers who definitely had a record and tons of face tats decided to give the 2 10-year-old girls all these free teddy bears. And we just thought he was being really nice. And when we told my mom, her eyes got so wide and she like went white in her face because she just fucking knew that he was a creep.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. No question. And yes, I did want to kill Maggie's older sister. She was supposed to be with these girls. Yeah, not so much.
But we survived and we got some free teddy bears out of it.
They did. They did.
So anyway, that's all the time we have today. But my mom will be back because she said she's not leaving me alone now. So she's going to fly back.
All the time.
So she'll be a regular on this podcast. But thank you so much for listening and watching. And make sure to tell us your traumatizing stories in the comments. We love to read them. We love to read about your trauma. And also...
preferably ones with happy endings. I would much rather have happy endings.
Well, if they're alive to write about it, I presume it was a happy-ish ending.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we love you and thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to my YouTube, hit the like button, and hit the follow button on Spotify so you can get updated every week. I release these every Thursday of my entire life until I die.
Yes. I'm sure she will.
Imagine the deathbed episode.
No.
Okay, no. All right.
Not doing that.